the recording here in 1 second. All right, recording is up and the meeting is yours, Joe.
All right, thank everyone for being online. Again, this will be a little different, but in either case, we'll get through it here. A couple of things just to cover. The way the opportunity to comment on an agenda, specific agenda item will be after the discussion with the board, prior to the vote from the board, we will allow a comment on that specific agenda item. There is a 2-minute limit. Andrew will be clocking the comment time, and he will indicate to you whenever your time is fixing to be up. So at this point, we'll try to get started. Chris, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, Chris, we'll get started on the first item on the agenda, which is the approval of the refunding of the bond. I'll let you take it from here.
Okay. As everybody knows, we are in an unprecedented market, and the interest rates have dropped significantly. Over the last week, all the banks have been tied up with doing the PPP loans, but that should free up in the next couple of weeks or so, we hope. And looking at the interest rates, we think that there's an opportunity to refund the 2013 bond for a saving. So we would like permission from the board to move forward with a parameter sale. And on a parameter sale, what you're doing is you're approving a maximum amount of principal on the bond, which is the outstanding bonds, plus a maximum or a minimum amount of savings. And typically it's 3%. For instance, in Harris County, all the districts in Harris County have to meet the City of Houston's ordinance, which states that you have to have at least a 3% present value savings to move forward with the refunding. So that would be another item that's put into the parameter sale. The parameter document. Then the board will pick a pricing officer. Typically it's the board president, but it's at the board's discretion who they choose to put in that position. And then once we decide when to drop that into the market, we will put it out for bids, giving the banks at least a 10-day lead time. And then they will come back with bids. And then we confer with the pricing officer what those bids are, the bond counsel, the general counsel, the financial advisor, and the board pricing officer. And we look at the bids that have come in to see if it's within those parameters of at least a 3% present value savings. And then we either move forward or we don't. And if we don't, for instance, with this is an unprecedented time. Everything is kind of wonky. If we don't get bids that are within the 3% margin, we can wait a month and go out again and see if we get better bids to move forward. But at any rate, the consultants only get paid if this moves forward. The 3% savings is net of all the costs for doing the transaction. Does anybody have any questions? Did I explain that well enough? We've been through this before, so mm-hmm. You guys are familiar with doing this.
Chris, what is the potential savings? This is Joe.
The potential, it could be as much as $700,000. That's what we run based on some numbers that I've already gotten on another transaction. But I have another one that's selling on Tuesday, so I'll know better on Tuesday if where the banks are. Right now, they're so swamped with all these PPP loans that we're trying to do the parameter sales. So once they get freed up, we can drop it in the market and get a decent bid. But the rates are really low. And, you know, the interest rate that a bank pays on money they borrow and what they charge. There's a spread between what they're paying and what they're charging you, and they're making that spread. But right now, again, they're busy with those payroll protection plan loans. So this gives us some leeway when we decide to put this in the market and not to have another board meeting, as long as the all as long as we meet the parameters in the order.
Okay.
And Chris, this is Joanne Mathiesen. Can you give me the aggregate principal amount that the bonds would not exceed?
It would not exceed, because we can't exceed the principal outstanding, which is $6 million, and it's $39,000 and some change. So if you want to put like $6,100,000 just to make it even, an even number.
Okay.
We can't exceed the principal outstanding because we don't have refunding bonds.
Right.
And the maximum interest rate, I would say 3%. It's going to be whatever that interest rate is that generates 3% CV savings, but I don't know what that is.
And the final maturity on the bonds?
The final maturity would be 9/30/2033.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Directors, questions for Chris or Joanne?
None on this side.
We need to name a pricing officer. This is Joanne, who would likely be available the day of pricing. Typically, it's the president.
We had that discussion earlier, and that's going to be Tyson Kennedy.
Okay.
And I think we also had to appoint the paying agent, escrow agent, which would be Amegy Bank. Is that Chris? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. They're your current paying agent on that bond, on those bonds, so it's easier to use them.
Correct.
On all of them except for one.
This is the bonds that we're calling. The bonds that we're calling.
Yeah. Right. I can go through each item and give you a brief description if you'd like me to, or you can make one motion to approve all the documents A through J, accepting D. That's a carryover from a prior agenda that's not relevant.
Okay, so we would eliminate D, okay. Did we ever get Tyson or Steve Don Carlos on the line?
Steve is here. Tyson has not responded to text or jumped on, so.
Okay. Okay, we'll proceed then at this point. Directors, again, any question or discussion?
This is Keith, no.
This is Ken.
Ken,
no. This is Ken, no.
Kelly?
No.
Okay. All right. Andrew, if you'd like to see if there's any comment from any of the callers, and if so, bring them on one at a time and time it, please.
Absolutely. So I'm going ahead and unmuting all future reference. If you do have a question on a specific agenda item on your touchtone phone, you can press *9. That will raise your hand, and I can see it on my dashboard, and I'll know to specifically call you out for whatever questions or insight you may have on a specific agenda item. So with everyone unmuted now, I've got Philip Haskett has a question on the item at hand. And so I'll go ahead and start the 2-minute clock. Mr. Haskett, proceed.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I have a brief question, Mr. Menchaca. I noticed on the 2019 audit that we also have as of June the 30th, we had $1,775,000 owed on the Series 2012 bonds and $2.9 million on the Series 2017. Is there a reason why we can't also refinance those, or is it just not cost effective?
It's not cost effective. Okay, yes, it's not cost effective. We look at all the bonds, and those aren't, the interest rates on those are not cost effective to do refunding at this time.
I got it. I thought probably as likely. And the current outstanding balance of $6,039,000, the audit showed $6,380,000. That's been paid down since then?
Correct.
I'm sure it has, yes.
I got it. Okay. That's actually the only question I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. I don't have any other raised hands. Just one last quick call before we mute and go to the vote.
One more thing I would like to point out, some of the bonds right now, the reason we can do the 13s and not the 12s aren't callable yet. The 13s are callable. You can't do it prior to the call date. So I just wanted to make that clarification. Either they're not callable or they're not feasible to refund right now. Just to make that clear for the record.
Okay. All right.
And we did have Tyson Kennedy join right there in the middle of that, so he is now present.
Hey, Tyson.
Okay. Good evening.
With that being said, I'm going to do what Chris suggested, that do I hear a motion to refund the bond sale for the 2013 bond with items A through J with the exception of D, which would include assigning Tyson Kennedy as the pricing officer and appointing Amegy Bank as the paying agent, registrar, and escrow agent. Do I hear a motion for that?
I so move.
Thank
this
you, Ken.
Ken.
Do I hear a second?
Keith, second.
That was Keith? All right.
Yes.
Any opposed to this motion? If not, the motion passes.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. All right. I think it was at the last minute, but we did receive insurance documents from Gallagher and Representative Kim, I think, from Gallagher. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Of course, it's quite a bit of documents there on this to go through, but it pretty well always comes down to the final thing, or the most important issue, is what it was our premium last year and what's our premium going to be this year.
Hello, this is Kim Court, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about your insurance renewal. We had been asked to provide it by this meeting, and part of the insurance is through the National Flood Insurance Program, and that's FEMA. And because of the virus, they are running way behind and have not released the renewal quotes for those flood. So we went ahead and sent you the proposal with all the other coverages except for those flood policies that are with the National Flood Insurance Program. So I'll talk to you just a little bit about that. Last year's, so we have a total premium without the NFIP of $47,610. There's no changes in carriers' terms, limits, or conditions other than the property values increased by $104,662. It caused, from last year, if you look at those same exact lines of coverage, the premium was $46,647, and that is a difference of $963. And most of that is because the property values increased, but there was a slight rate increase on property overall. We cannot hurry up NFIP, nor can we change the premiums. They're pretty much it's whatever it is that they release. So as soon as we have those, we'll send those to you, but they also send them to you directly. And so you may get copies of those. Yes.
Kim, do you think that they went up on it?
Yes.
Yep. I figured that.
Yes. The interesting thing is when you get the quote, they give you option one and option two. Option two is actually the limits that you had last year. So most people think option one is what they had last year, but that's not the case with NFIP. So when we look at those, you're going to want to look at that. Now, I won't say the pricing has increased from what I've seen on other ones dramatically, they have increased, and because they do their own very difficult calculations and so forth, there's no way for me to tell you exactly what I would expect. Last year, you paid a total of $30,292 for the NFIP policies. Does anybody have the proposal in front of them?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi. On page 10 is the list of items that we have to insure through NFIP because we can't get that elsewhere. And so those are your list of the items that you have. And the current building and contents, we just laid it all out for you and what deductibles you selected last year. So when you get the renewal, they always give you options where you can increase the limit or also deductible options. And so for each one, you can go in and select different ones because you're going to get 12 different ones because they will only do one structure per policy. Okay.
Kim, are they going to give us a little leeway with the payment? Because I see here it says payments on renewals must be received prior to the renewal date.
Well, it's been interesting. You would think that FEMA would have it set up a little bit better, but they have not changed the rules. And so how it goes is if you can pay online. So once you get it, if you can get it approved, you can have your bookkeeper pay it online. Now, the policy will expire. I think your flood policies expire the first part of June. I need to look at that. But the policies will expire, and then if you don't pay by then, they don't renew them. And then if you do pay and they get the money, it's always about when they get the money, never about when you send it, right? It's when they get the money, they give you 30 days to pay. If you don't pay, if they get the money, they will reinstate the policy and renew it with no loss in coverage. But on the 31st day after that, they will take your money, but your policy will have canceled back when it originally canceled, and you will have a 30-day waiting period before the coverage will be in effect again. So the reason we tell people to pay before the renewal date is simply because that's going to be your best way to make sure you have coverage in place. Otherwise, you're sort of gambling. And the mail, in some parts of the country, the mail's moving real slow. And so we have to be careful with mail. That's why I'm recommending to all the bookkeepers that they pay these things online. And then that way they know right then that it's done and they've got, the Hartford, which is the processing carrier, has got the money, and then it's a done deal.
Okay, Kim, this is Joe.
Yes.
With the policy expiring there, let's just say June 1, I would assume that FEMA or federal flood is obligated to give us the new rate prior to the expiration, correct?
You would hope, but the last one that I got was like 10 days before the expiration. I mean, that's how far behind they are. And used to, it was a month, 2 months in advance. So it's really, I mean, this has really impacted the virus, I believe, has really impacted a lot. And so we may have to deal with it. What you may want to do is approve the NFIP quote based upon the expiring deductible and limits, and then that way that can be done and you can move forward with it. But I think you have one more meeting, right, before this?
Yeah, we'll have another meeting, which we'll wait for the quote and approve it all at one time. So there shouldn't be an issue on getting it there on time.
Okay. But you know, y'all pay those directly. The money does not flow through Gallagher. It's a direct policy, and they require that you pay it directly instead of running it through us.
Okay? Like last year.
Yes, exactly like last year. So, and we'll be happy to revise the proposal so you have a document that has it all together, because looking at 12 different things can be confusing. But we have to wait. You know, I had Julie check right before she sent this proposal. I said, go in and look one more time and see if we get lucky. And it wasn't there. They're not there.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Kim. Directors, you have any questions for Kim, or do you have any discussion about waiting to next month to approve all of this?
Yeah, Joe, it's Tyson. And just a quick question for Kim. I guess on page 18. Well, and really, I'm sorry. It's more for Andrew and Ken. If y'all can just double check page 18 and page 24, the equipment schedule and the automotive schedules, and just make sure that we are current with those. We don't need to add anything. I'm assuming y'all have already gone through this, but just a quick note, please just double check all those assets.
Okay. They sent me something. This is Janice. They sent me something, yeah. I think, about 2 months ago to make sure that we had what was listed on here.
Perfect.
So, you know, anything that we don't have anymore is not listed.
Okay, perfect. And Kelly, I'm sorry, I think I cut you off.
That's okay. Kim, well, this is Kelly. I had a question on, let's see, I guess it's page 5. It talks about the DNO and then the crime limits. On the ones that have the asterisk, is that saying if you want a different quote, like a higher amount or something? I mean, what is this saying with the asterisk? I don't think I understand.
The asterisk is the is on the limit that you currently purchase. And then if you want to change the limit, then you would sign in a different spot. But otherwise, the asterisk is just to help you know what you have in place right now.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Okay. Can you?
Yes.
You have any questions and discussion on this?
I have none. This is Ken.
Okay. Keith, you good?
Yes, Keith, I'm good.
Okay. All right, Andrew, if you'd like to see if any comments from residents or the callers.
Absolutely. So, right now, all participants are unmuted. I did not see any raised hands, but wanted to make sure nobody was missed. Just raise his hand. So, David Jedalina, you have the floor for any questions regarding this specific item. Go ahead, sir.
Andrew, I got a question regarding the proposal from Gallagher. That was not included in a data packet that I received. Why was not that included?
That is correct. It was mentioned earlier, but that was literally resolved. So that would not have been the original packet that we uploaded to our website and transmitted to you.
Can you email me a copy of that, please?
We'll be amending the board packet to include that online, so you have that once we put that up there. So,
thank you.
Any additional questions?
Anyone else, Andrew?
What's that?
Anyone else?
No additional questions from the public. I'm going ahead and muting the lines. And Joe, it's back to you.
Okay, we're going to table this for approval till next meeting. And we will hopefully have all the rates and the revised. And Andrew, as he said, please post this out on a revised packet. Okay. We're going to move forward with the consideration for the commercial development, which is at 2311 Rue Delphi.
All right. So included in your packets was an aerial of the infrastructure in the area that is being proposed, as well as some schematics provided by the residents. Ken and I looked at the infrastructure. It can sustain the additional tap as far as capacity goes. The proposed development is for a nursery, for gardening and such. We don't have any issues with the capacity aspect, but as it is a commercial development, it does need to come before the board for discussion and approval due to the current moratorium.
Is the owner of this property on the line?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you're going to build some three greenhouses. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes. I first starting to build the sale office and the first greenhouse and start the business, and then I'm going to build the second and the third later.
Okay. Do you have any estimations as to the water use that is going to be used in these?
The water use, I haven't calculated the exact water yet.
Okay, so these greenhouses are going to be for commercial. You're going to raise vegetables or plants in these for sale to the public or distribution, or what are you going to do?
I would like to do growings part of the land for fruit trees and flowers, and then sell the tree, the tropical indoor outdoor plants, and some merchandise like fertilizer, chemical, soil, and stone, and stuff like that.
Okay. All right, directors, do y'all have any question for the gentleman here on this development?
I would say, I mean, just the same as you asked, find out about the water usage, because I would assume that would require a lot of water.
Agreed.
From a operations perspective, just to speak to that effect, the sales office is going to be coming off of Rue Delphi on a regular 3/4-inch meter with a 4-inch sewer. The proposed garden aspect is actually going to get the water fit from 23rd, which is a 6-inch main, and we're proposing putting a 1-inch meter in there to facilitate the additional flow. So, and it would be a water only, not sewer, as it's being used for irrigation purposes. So as far as, again, from a capacity perspective, there's not a concern on how much would be utilized.
Okay. Ken, Keith, any question or comment here?
Ms. Keith, no.
Ken, Tyson?
Joe, it's Tyson. I'm trying to find square footage. What's the total square footage?
We have the 3 acres of land.
Of the greenhouses, I'm sorry.
The greenhouse, each one is 3,000 square foot.
Okay. Thank you.
We just plan to do the small business, so it's not much the water consumed, because I bought this land from 2015 and then 2016 to add up together 3 acres. And in 5 years, we just sitting there and haven't done anything. And the tax rate is very high right now. We would like to generate some small income for maintenance and tax increase and create some labor work for the local. And that just saving some money to pay in tax. So it's not much a big business.
Okay. Any other questions from the directors at this point? If not, Andrew, do you want to check the callers?
Yes, sir. So we do have a raised hand from Mr. Haskett. Let me go ahead and unmute that line. Mr. Haskett, you have 2 minutes to ask any questions regarding the agenda item.
All right. Am I on?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, Mr. Munchak, I have a question. This development brings a question to mind. Does the current rate order have any provisions for, in the event of a drought, to ration water so that industrial or commercial users such as this particular enterprise would they be second in priority as far as getting available water if we had to go to some sort of rationing again?
There, and I'm not looking at it, but I do believe there's some guidelines in there that have to do with voluntary and mandatory water restrictions in the event of a severe drought. And then we are also under some guidance from Gulf Coast Water in the event of a severe drought. So there would be something there, and we'll review that carefully to determine what it is.
Okay, yeah, so my comment would really just be if the board approves this, and I don't have any objection to the board approving it, but the individual that's requesting the permit or the tap, if there needed to be some sort of rationing imposed on him, that might adversely affect his stock, and that I would want to make sure that that wasn't that he were aware of that potentiality so that there not be any liability for the district.
Okay.
That's my comment.
All right. I'm going to go ahead. I don't see any other raised hands, but I will go ahead and unmute all participants. Does anyone have any additional question or comment on this specific agenda item?
Hello.
Yes.
Mr. Andrew, this is Peter.
Yes, sir. Oh. Yes, Peter.
I'm calling about a property 2445.
Yes, you are next on the agenda, Peter. So
hold down
1 second.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay.
Other questions on that item? I'll go ahead and mute the participants. And Joe, it is back to you.
Okay, at this point, if directors do not have any further questions or comment, and listening to what Ms. Graskett brought out, can I hear a motion to approve this development on 2311 Rue de la Petite, conditional upon review of the rate order for restrictions that could apply in the event of a drought? Do I hear a motion for that? Kelly, was that you?
It was.
All right.
This is Ken. I said it.
All right, Ken. It's been approved. It's been moved and seconded. Any opposed to this motion? If not, it does pass conditional to the terms that I mentioned. Okay, Andrew, I guess we're moving on to 2445-517.
That is correct. So I am unmuting Peter. He is the owner, hoping to be owner of that property, looking to put some commercial development on there. Peter, I'll go ahead and let you discuss what you're proposing with the property. Go ahead.
Andrew, before we get started here, I did not see a drawing or anything about this, any plans. Did I miss this?
No, sir. There were no plans or drawings at this time. The property is being considered for purchase, and so a site plan has not been developed yet. Prior to purchasing the property, they wanted to ensure that the development would be used for commercial purposes, and I'll let Peter talk as to what exactly his company does and what would be done on the site.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Peter Toll, and I'm an owner of Palm Arts Incorporated. We have been doing business with manufacturing centrifugal pumps, oil pumps, water pumps, chemical pumps, for since 1962 until now. And I'm thinking about moving down to San Leon, and the piece of property that I'm looking at is at 2445. And I would like to know that, you know, to check with the authority for the approval and see that would be the industrial zone. Is it, you know, we'd be able to build the manufacturer there before I purchase the piece of property?
Okay, in this property at 2445, it says Avenue J. Are we talking it faces 517, not Avenue J?
That's correct. It faces 517.
What is currently there?
It is. Sorry, go ahead, Peter.
I talked to the owner. Well, actually, the people that are living in there right now, that they rent in the RV, and I think that they already have like 8 or 12 attendants there. But right now they're trying to sell it. So.
Okay, I'm still not clear what's on the property right now.
I think it's very much like RV park, I think.
Is it very much empty.
Okay. Is it the one, if you're going, leaving San Leon on 517, it's on the left and it has a Sealand container or Connex there and some RVs there on the left?
Yes, right in front of a company I forgot the name of the company.
Dollar General.
Okay. I believe it's the one that has the storage place right there in front of it, where they're storing, where they store the RVs, and it has an RV there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I believe it. Yes, the owner said that they rented out for 8 people living in there right now, I think.
Well, we might want to look into that because that was a storage facility, not an RV park. So, Andrew, you might want to make a note of that. To let's look into that.
I have.
And I certainly want to hear from the other directors, but at this point, it's not really the San Leon Mud's place to say if that property can be developed commercially for industrial use or anything like that. That, since we currently fall under the jurisdiction of Texas City and Galveston County, the use of that property is going to fall to their jurisdiction. Now, once it's established what's going to be there, we would have to, the Mud would determine if utilities were available that would suit the development or whatever, as long as it's not an RV park.
But at this point, I'm not sure that we're the guys that are going to approve a commercial development there based on the usage being in an industrial or whatever it might be considered. So, fellow directors, what do y'all think?
If it's not the industrial property there, I would like to have a question. Where is the industrial area located in San Leong?
Again, the use of the property in San Leon is under the jurisdiction of Texas City and Galveston County. There is not an industrial section, as to say, in San Leon. There's a lot of open property there. So my thought would be, before you purchase, I think you're going to need to talk to Texas City and Galveston County, and they're probably going to want to see something more formal in what your intentions to do with the property are before they grant you some permission to move forward. That would be my thought. Again, fellow directors?
Yes, sir.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Joe. It's Tyson. I think we are all definitely very encouraged anytime you have a commercial type of opportunity moving to San Leon. It's jobs for the community, et cetera. So, you know, barring that, water usage and other things, we've got to be a little careful about. I think in general, we're all pretty supportive of it. So, yeah.
Hey, Joe?
Yes.
Just another thought real quick. This is Steve. Another thought real quick. We're going to need some information on if this is going to be tied into the sewer system and what he's going to be discharging, because we've got a hazardous waste ordinance that would have to be complied with also. So you might want to get this gentleman a copy of our hazardous waste ordinance.
Okay, Andrew, can you supply that to this gentleman, please?
Noted.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll thank you very much for all the answer that you are giving me. I will forward the information about my company and all that to Mr. Andrew. And, I'll go from there.
Okay, and we'll just table this until we gain more information. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next agenda item. It is the discussion and approval of authorization to seek competitive seal bids for various small district projects on an as-need basis. Fellow directors, any discussion or comment on that?
Joe, if I could make a quick comment on that for everybody. Andrew and I have been working on the bid proposal package, and we have it pretty close to ready to go. And what will happen is tonight we're asking for y'all to authorize us to go out for bids. When the packet is ready and we're ready to actually go out for bids, we will put it on the district website, so it'll be everybody can see what the parameters are, but we'll also go through the process that we go through on any major construction project, and that would be advertising in the newspaper and whatever Hal normally does to get the word out to as many companies as we can to bid on this. We are taking the step to break up the bid into different job classifications and categories in an effort to get more companies interested. In other words, we may have several different companies doing different things based on their qualifications and on their bid prices. So we're trying to formulate a document that will get us the best lowest price bids and make it extremely competitive. So I would guess, Andrew and I been talking about it back and forth today, and we're pretty much down to the last draft. And again, it will be public information for everybody as soon as we got the bid packet ready to go out.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Directors, any discussion or questions?
And this for bids for, I read it somewhere in there, it's for bids for a certain amount under, I think, what was that, under 75,000?
I think correct. These will be for all services, regardless of dollar amount.
Yeah, this will be on it's an as needed contract. In other words, we may not, the district can choose not to ever spend any money under this contract, and we make that very clear in the bid documents. It's on an as needed basis. That we feel that it's either going to confirm that the prices the district has been given are fair, or if we can find better prices with a qualified contractor, then we will do that. We'll move the business to the best bang for the buck for the district.
Who determines if it's, you say as needed and when it's needed?
I'm sorry, I did not hear that.
If you say it's on an as, if you say it's on an as needed basis, who determines that it's needed or not needed?
We are going to build a system of internal controls on that. It's right now what would happen is that Ken Keller would determine if something breaks or if there's a need that we cannot handle in-house. He would bring a work order to Andrew, who would look over it, compare it to the budget, and ask for proper documentation from the bidding or from the company to do the work. And then if Andrew determines that that it is necessary and fits within the budget, then Andrew could go ahead and approve it. There will be a budget that y'all will set for the work, or for how much a maximum that could be spent for the year. We can build it in where y'all can. The issue that we have with bringing everything to the board, it's my understanding, is that many of these are line breaks and such that have to be repaired immediately. And frankly, there's just it's very difficult to call a meeting and get everybody together and go over, you know, and take bids. So that's the purpose of the as needed basis, Kelly.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Kelly. Tyson, Keith, Ken, anything?
This is Ken. Everything looks good on that.
Thank you, Ken.
I'm good. This is Keith.
You good?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Tyson, you good?
We're good.
All right. Andrew, you want to see if there's a question or a comment?
All right. We do not have any hands raised, but I've gone ahead and unmuted the lines. If anyone has a question, please raise your hand. All right. We've got Philip Haskett raising his hand. Mr. Haskett, you have 2 minutes to bring up any questions or discussion you may have on the specific agenda item. You have the floor.
Yeah, so just to be clear, Ken Keller is still going to get to decide whether or not he needs to issue a purchase order to whoever has been selected under this request for proposal. How is that different from what you're already doing?
Ken will make the request in a purchase order format. Andrew will make the decision.
And what's the threshold that has to be submitted under this process? as opposed to the way it's been being done now, which is just Mr. Saldurna doing whatever Ken directs him to go do.
Okay, I'm not quite sure if I understood your question. Rephrase it again.
Is there a minimum or a maximum? What's the minimum threshold of a project that's going to be a contract or a work order be let, as opposed to how it's being done now, which doesn't seem to have any minimums or maximums?
Any repair work that is being done in the district will have to have the work order approved by Andrew, period. So we will take that for all work being done out there unless we're doing it in-house.
I got it. So the approximately $100,000 that I see in the last month's check registers and the previous month, all of that work will proceed under this new process. Is that correct?
Any contracted work.
All right. Well, that was a pretty straightforward answer there, Mr. Munchaka. So I appreciate that. I'm done.
Thank you.
All right. Any additional questions?
Yep. Right here.
All right, David, you've got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Andrew, one comment. If everybody could please state their name prior to speaking or making a comment, it'd be easier for everybody to understand who's doing the talking. I assume I heard Attorney Don Carlos doing most of the talking just recently. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Good. Okay. So my comment is, at the February board meeting, the vice president requested that a cost-benefit analysis be done of contracting versus doing the work in-house. Has that analysis been concluded?
That analysis has been started, but given the environment that quickly developed following that meeting, it has been placed on a back burner because we are not in a position to start hiring additional staff, even if the cost benefit was clear. We're doing our best to protect our staff from the situation going on right now.
Okay. One other question, Andrew, regarding hiring additional staff. Everyone's requested that you hire some additional staff or look into doing that. Have you done so, or have you received any CVs?
This is Tyson. How does that relate to the agenda item that we're on right now?
We're talking about contracting, and we're talking about doing contracting versus doing it in-house.
That's correct, but we're not dealing with hiring at this point. This is specifically about letting the competitive bidding process go through. We'll deal with hiring in a different setting when we're ready to do that.
All righty.
Okay.
So that's all for me.
All right. Any additional questions from anyone? Okay, we'll go ahead and mute the lines. And Joe, it's back to you.
All right, thank you. All right, do I hear a motion to approve the sending out of competitive bids for various small district projects on an as-needed basis?
This is Keith, yes.
I second. Cool. Nice.
All right, who made the motion?
Keith.
All right, and Tyson, you second?
That is correct.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next item is a discussion about a water leak on the customer's side at 1211 11th Street, which is Mr. Andy Upchurch's property. And I trust the directors have read the little summary about how all this came about.
Yes, sir. Ken.
Yes,
thank
Keith.
You, Ken. Keith, thank you.
Kelly, yes.
That would be awesome. Okay. Tyson, did you read it?
I did.
Okay, and just to recap, because I wanted to make sure I was clear on it, there was water leak
on the other side of the meter on the customer's side. This is a rental property. The renter did not catch this. He let it run. Whether he knew it was there or not, I don't know. He didn't seem to be very concerned by what's being indicated in the write-up. The first water bill was about $2,300, $2,358.02. The second one, which was at the March billing in March invoicing, was $4,709.47, a total of $7,199.99. We were approached, and again, I'm gonna say we were approached by Mr. Upchurch for any kind of help we could give him on the bill, which we gave credits for $3,112.25, leaving a balance of $4,087.74, which is the cost of the water used. Mr. Upchurch, if you have a statement to make or a question before we go any further, I would allow you to do that at this point.
Yes, this is Andy Upchurch. I don't have any questions. That seems accurate. I'd like to point out to the board that when this occurred, it was unfortunately during a very rainy period back in January, and my renter, who is very conscientious, didn't notice it, and I didn't either. There was no water gushing anywhere. If we did, we would have jumped on that.
Could I ask where this statement that where the renter was asked, and I'm not sure who did the asking, where the bill isn't mine, so it's not my concern, came from?
Wait, repeat the question, please.
On the summary, and Andrew, correct me, this summary of this, was this what the renter told us, which is inside of this?
Correct. So that statement, the bill isn't mine, it's not my concern, was expressed to our operator in the field whenever he responded to the call for the initial leak.
Oh, yes, yes, that is correct. The bill, the water bill has been in my name. And when he told them that, he was correct. But then after he told them that, he told me that the very next thing he did was to call me and say, Andy, we got a problem here.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Upchurch. Directors, we've done what our policy is to take the sewer charges off of this bill at this point, leaving the balance for the water used. Any comment or discussion at this point?
Joe,
is everybody?
No, Joe, I think this is a tough one, obviously. I guess the amount of what is, do we have a large line size there? So it's just a heck of a lot of water that unfortunately was lost. Is this a normal tap situation for us, or is there something a little different? Is there something I'm missing?
Can I respond to that? This is Andy. Could I respond to that?
Just a moment, please.
Yeah, sure.
This is a standard residential tap, Tyson. It's either a 3/4 inch, 1 inch line running to this RV, is what it is, to my knowledge. And Andrew, is that not the case?
No, that is correct. And with the break being on the customer's side, regardless of the main size, it's only going to facilitate X amount of flow. It's just unfortunate that over such a long period of time, it was allowed to continue unintentionally, obviously. But that's what resulted in such a large usage.
And if I'm not mistaken, because I drove by to look at this property so I'd understand the circumstance, the water meter is probably about, I'd say 20 feet from the front door of this RV sitting there, maybe not that far. So, Mr. Upchurch, you had something to say?
No, it is correct the way you all portrayed this. As soon as my renter let me know this, I went right out there and I called you all and I said, man, we've got this water leak. We've got a problem here. Again, there was no water like gushing or flowing. There was nothing that you could see because we had had all of this rain. Lots of San Leon is under 3 or 4 inches of water anyway. My yard is in San Leon as well during those times. And that is what unfortunately masks the situation. If we'd seen something gushing, we would have jumped on it right away.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Epchurch. Directors, discussion, comments?
Is this part of the, it's later in the packet, but the two million gallons of lost water, is this a large part of that?
It would certainly have an impact, yes.
Yeah, Kelly, I mean, I guess what I'm kind of reading there, if we add up, 191,000 and 382,000, I mean, that's good grief, over 500,000 gallons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to tell how much water went out this leak there. I mean, we could certainly do a calculation, you know, with that, and try to get some form of an estimate, but based on what ran through the meter, it was considerable.
Joe, it's Tyson. I mean, I said earlier, hard one to always discuss. You know, obviously we have a precedence of how we've handled this in the past. I think that the one thing that, you know, I think Andy's comment there about, you know, the amount of rain and the problem of being able to see, I mean, is there any way that we can possibly, you know, see how much rain we did have during that time? I kind of, you know, compare if it's something that you know, should have been seen, could have been seen. I don't know how to proceed on this, to be honest with you. I don't know if we should table it to the next meeting or make that decision now on what to do on it.
According to records, we had 2.49 inches of rain during the February period and 2.4 inches of rain during the March period. So not that isn't a lot, but it's certainly not as much as we've had.
Right, right. Okay.
Gentlemen, this is Andy again. May I make a suggestion?
Go ahead.
The bill now is so high, there's no way I can pay this. This is a lot of money. This puts me in financial hardship. I'm a musician, and my income went to zero when the coronavirus came along. Even before that, this bill is so incredibly large. I thought maybe I could suggest a settlement amount, something that I could pay you all right now. We fixed the leak. I could pay you all a settlement amount if we could agree on something. And with my promise that I will give the utmost attention to any leaks in the future on this property.
One suggestion I might make to you is that you put that water meter in your renter's name.
Yeah.
And that might guard you from exposure like this. But what amount of money are you suggesting here, Mr. Upchurch?
Okay, please don't laugh. If we say $500, that is much more than the normal monthly bill of that property, which is about $80 a month. I'll write you guys a check for $500 and reset it back to zero. I will promise to put this meter in his name and monitor the situation. I am one of the people here in San Leon that has come to this area, and I'm here to make a difference, both in my own property and in this renter's property. We're doing our part to make San Leon a better place to live.
Directors, do you want to make a decision at this point on our position, or do you want to table this till the next meeting?
That's Keith. I'd rather table it.
Okay.
This is Ken. Yeah, I think we need to table it.
Okay. All right, Kelly.
I guess table it.
All right, and Tyson, I think you'd already indicated that.
Correct, as long as that does not put Andy in any situation waiting until the next meeting, I would go for tabling it.
Now, as long as Andrew, if you'll just make sure that his current bill stays current, and we'll make a decision and next meeting on this.
Duly noted.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Upchurch.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time.
All right.
So we did have one. We did have one question from Mr. Haskett. I've gone ahead and unmuted his line. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Are you talking to me now?
Yeah, you had your hand raised, so I assumed you wanted.
Yeah, this is Philip Haskett. My question was how much did the water that was lost cost the district? That perhaps that might be a baseline to determine what a reasonable adjustment might be. But if you're going to table it, that can be brought up later. I'm aware that the price the bill that's being presented to this fellow is the retail price which would be part of the other cost that the district incurs, but there would be a base cost from Gulf Coast of what the lost water actually cost us. And that might be a reference.
And we'll look at that, but please understand that all your water bills are not cost plus a base on it. It's the cost of the transmission of the water to us and the distribution cost. So he's getting it at cost is what he's getting. It's not based on a for-profit type situation, but we'll certainly look at the usage and analyze the cost of that, see what we can do.
Sure. All right, well, that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, we're going to move to the next item, which is the ratification of mission of a recent article and future articles for public clarification of misinformation and authorization of payments of the amount for that article and future articles. Directors, do you have some discussion or some comments?
This is Keith, no.
Okay.
I don't think I understand what you're saying.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm Kelly, you kind of broke up.
I was wondering I don't know what we're saying exactly. What about price to run articles that are reclassifying? I don't understand what we're saying.
Okay. There was an article put into the Eagle Point Press.
Right.
That clarified some questions, or so let's just say some information that was put out there that was not completely accurate.
Right.
And at that point, we put it in the Eagle Point Press rather other than our normal article that we have.
Right.
And at this point, we are ratifying the submission of that article and any future articles that would be necessary for clarification of any misinformation. And then we would approve payment of this particular one in future articles.
Oh, I'm for that.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Tyson, Ken, discussion or comment?
Tyson, I'm good.
Okay.
This is Ken.
Ken?
This is Ken. I'm good.
Keith is good.
Okay. Good deal. All right, Andrew, any questions?
Yes, we have a raised hand from Mr. Haskett. Going ahead and unmuting the line. You have 2 minutes.
All right. I want to make sure the board is aware that I sent you a letter regarding this issue.
We are.
Okay. And so long as the board is aware that I've sent you a letter before you vote on it, that was all I wanted the every member of the board to confirm. Miss Neeson doesn't sound like she's familiar with the letter that I sent.
I'm familiar with it.
Yes, cease and desist. That came from you. Yes, I'm very familiar with it. Thank you.
That's my comment. Thank you very much.
Can we stick with maybe questions and not comments? I think it's now the third agenda item that we've made comments on. I think we need to stick with questions, please.
Sure. I'll be more clear.
A raised hand from Mr. Jedalina. I am unmuting the line. 2 minutes.
All right. Well, I've got a comment, but I guess I'll have to phrase it as a suggestion, eh?
But actually, it'd be a question to be correct. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me just make a comment, please. I would like to suggest that any future articles of this type be thoroughly vetted, at least by one or more people, to make sure they're accurate. Because this article that we're talking about is loaded with inaccuracies, and we don't have time to get into that, but that's a fact. Number two, this article we're talking about was signed by the board of directors in advance, and it comes across as a statement from the board. And it wasn't, and that's not right. And number three, I believe this article actually was an action to try to affect a public election, and that's wrong. End of my comments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for those comments. Andrew, anyone else?
No additional hands are raised or questions.
Okay. All right. At this point, do I hear a motion to ratify the submission of this article and future articles and payment of these amounts for the current and future?
I so move. It's Tyson.
Thank you, Tyson. Do I hear a second?
I second. It's Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. All in any opposed? I'm trying to do it the correct way. Any opposed? Item passes. It has been ratified. Okay, we're going to move to the point of our normal reports. We'll move, all the reports will be approved by consent along with the minutes, but Hal, yours is, we always carve it out, so I'll let you at this point tell us what you know.
I take it I've been unmuted?
Yes, you are good to go.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. And good evening, everyone. It's good to hear your voices again. I just look forward to the time we can face each other again in the meetings. All right. The report is very simple. The wastewater treatment plant, we did advertise on March 5th and 12th. A pre-bid was scheduled to follow that about a week or so later, but because of the COVID, we decided to postpone all pre-bid and bidding. So until the regulatory agencies lift any of the restrictions, then we're going to stay in this mode and determine a new date later. The second item is the utility master plan update. So we have gotten started with setting up the water model for a desktop evaluation. And we're establishing the foundation and background of the map system for the model. And I've been talking with Andrew. We've been going back and forth with some maps and things and trying to get the an accurate depiction of the water system itself in its current state. So that's where we are right now.
Okay, thank you, Al. Al, I take it you and family are doing well?
We are. House is getting a little crowded. My eldest and her husband and daughter moved in with us about a week or so ago, as well as my second oldest. So we're having fun here.
Wow. I can see that. Okay, thank you, Al. Director, does anybody have any question on Hal's report or any of the other reports at this point that you haven't already asked and gotten answered?
This is Kelly. I have a question on
those numbers are not correct, Kelly. I'll tell you that we became aware of that too late to get it corrected, but Andrew is working on it.
Okay. I assume it's less.
Correct, yes. The formula sheet that we plug the numbers into, the January meeting or February meeting for January's report, everything was working correct. And then when we used this go around and Ken submitted his report, we assumed it was still working correctly, and it for some reason did not. So we're recrunching those numbers and confirming with GCWA that all of our stuff is correct as well.
Okay.
And you will put those corrected numbers out there, as will do the insurance packet when they're complete.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. Anyone else have any questions about any of the reports?
This is Keith. No.
Okay. Ken?
No. This Ken, no.
Tyson?
It's Tyson. We're good.
Okay. Andrew, you can open up if you'd like for any question.
All right, I didn't see any raised hands, but we'll go ahead and unmute. Did anyone have questions? All right, Mr. Lena, you have your hand raised. I'll go ahead and get the call set. You are unmuted. You've got 2 minutes.
All right. Real quickly, Andrew, it looks like we're jumping ahead of approval of the February minutes. Are we going to do that later?
The approval of the minutes and reports is all done as a grouping.
Okay, I'd like to make a comment then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ready to go ahead?
1 o'clock.
Okay. In the February meeting, it was a really good meeting we held in Engine Bay at the fire station. There was a question posed by David Haskett regarding 2,500 brass water meters taken out of service. Have those water meters been located yet?
We are waiting for a response from the company that actually did the install, as to, since it's been so far back, as to, someone has a lot of wind noise. Is that somebody that's unmuted at this point?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I think it's coming from David here. I'll mute him to go ahead and make that easier. Go ahead and respond.
We're waiting for a response from the company that did the install as to the disposition of those meters. As soon as we get that, we will make that public.
Oh, great, great. And also one other question, Philip David Haskett had brought up a question regarding clawback of the IRS payment in the amount of $26,395 made by the former chief, Scotty Lyons, was it? What's the status of that effort?
Mr. Don Carpenter, would you care to answer that?
Yes, we've contacted the IRS and it's under review. They are not being really quick about answering anything right now, but it is under review there. It's my understanding.
Hey, great news. I appreciate it very much.
All right. No additional questions at this time. So, Joe, it's back to you.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept all of the reports presented and approve the minutes for the February 20th, February and March 2020 minutes?
This is Ken. I so move.
Thank you, Ken. Second,
Keith,
please.
Keith, second.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you. Any opposed? All right. All have been approved. Thank you all. Okay, Andrew, I think we are at your part. If you want to give us a quick rundown.
Yeah, I'll definitely focus on the quick side of things. Don't want to hold us over here too much longer. But I did have 2 months of reports since we had an abbreviated session last time. Key takeaways are going to be continued work on the grant proposal, getting a grant administration RFP out there so we can tie on to some of this disaster mitigation funding that's coming up here. The current timeline is presumably June is last I heard, when that application process will be opened up. Then as far as everything else, we did have a TCEQ inspection at our water treatment plant, had a couple of punch list items we had to address with documentation once the elevated storage tank had been constructed. Some of our manuals didn't include that in the diagramming. So simple things that were updated and everything is good to go there. We do have a CPR training with the staff that was supposed to be done, but then COVID happened. That's on hold, as we have AEDs at the sewer plant and at the office. There is some mandatory training associated with that every couple of years. So we'll be doing that as soon as we are allowed to be within 6 feet of each other again. 14th Street, if you haven't driven by it, it looks great. Galveston County bringing that into their maintenance logs, and they've been doing a good job of updating that. We will have a call log in the future from Texas Pride. Their call center is going to be making notes of any issues that are reported to them so that we can see that from an objective perspective. We've had all in all between the 2 months, less than 50 calls. Usually they were related to the recycling truck passed by and someone thought it was the trash truck, so they thought they were missed service. But I've already got with Texas Pride and they're going to look at getting magnets to put on the recycling trucks so that there's some distinction there. And just doing a quick cursory look. We are extending the no shutoff policies for right now, just sort of on a month-to-month basis, determining where things are at in society and the world, because we have been starting to receive calls from individuals who no longer have employment or have reduced hours. So we are not doing shutoffs for non-payment to try and assist with people as they're in this difficult time. Outside of that, we have a one last thing really that's larger. We are updating our meter reading software. If you recall, they're sort of sunsetting the one that we're utilizing right now. So we'll be doing that update with Accurate Meter this next month or so. And it's one step closer to what I had mentioned in the past about if we did upgrade our meters, there would be an individual portal for each customer. That requires the meters to be updated, but the first step is upgrading to the software system anyway. So we'll be primed for that down the road if we do choose to go that route. So I guess if any of the directors has any questions or anything on the reports, we'll call that good.
Directors, anybody have a question?
No.
This is Ken. Everything looked good.
Ms. Keith, good.
Tyson, good.
Okay. Andrew, any questions from anyone else before we move forward?
All right, I've gone ahead and unmuted. I didn't see any raised hands, but did anyone have any questions regarding my reports? All right, no questions. We'll go ahead and mute the lines. Back to you, Joe.
Okay, the last two general items on the agenda, anything on our directors want to bring up or a discussion of any outstanding issues you may have before we go into executive session?
Joe, it's
anybody
it's
anything? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Tyson. Just real quick, hurricane preparedness, our procedure, just a gentle reminder to Ken Keller and Andrew. Let's go ahead and get that out and brush up on it, et cetera, and just make sure we're good to go as we'll be approaching that season again, unfortunately, relatively soon, right? Second is more just a general comment. I'm not sure I'm good with, normally we have comments, et cetera, at the beginning of the meeting and then we get into our business and we work through our business. I'm not sure why we changed format for this meeting, but just a quick note, I think I like it when things flow a little bit more smoothly during our meetings. So just a comment from this director.
Got it. And well, if we
have to stay in this mode of meeting in the next 30-day cycle, which I think will change the way we meet anyway, then we'll have to get a better consensus on how we're going to smooth this thing out. So point well taken, Tyson.
Okay.
Anyone else? If not, then at this point, we're going to go into executive session. Andrew, I'll leave it to you to advise us when we are in executive session, directors only.
Absolutely. So I'll go ahead and be placing the public into the waiting room. Doing that right now. 1 second. And... oh. All right, we are in executive. I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording. So our recording has resumed. Up until about 30 seconds ago, we had one person in the waiting room. They signed out. So we are back to regular session. The floor is yours, Joe.
All right, since there's no action required on executive session, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
This is Ken.
I second Ken.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Kelly. Any opposed? We are adjourned, guys. Thank all of y'all. Stay safe. Remember to take Kelly's advice, sing your song, wash your hands, and do all that good stuff.